The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
This morning, let the light of your word be the distinguishing factor. In the name of Jesus, let it change us. And Father, I receive in this meeting a free flow of utterance all over this place. Words coming smoothly, meeting needs, settling issues. Let everyone here live here with their expectations met and exceeded. In Jesus' name we pray. Did you come with some amen? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me have you sit down for just a few minutes. That doesn't mean I'm teaching a short message. Just a few minutes. Because we're going to have to stand again and again. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm looking forward to next Sunday. Do you know what's happening next Sunday? Well, I've not announced. Let me just talk about it now because we're going to have a lot of time next Sunday. Are you excited? Next Sunday, we're going to have a special retreat here. Don't worry. You don't have to come here in the evening. Right in the service. I will have you pray for 30 minutes. The choir will sing for 15 minutes. And I will start teaching you until you are taught. Are you excited about that? You will thank me after that. You know, it's not strange that the testimonies coming this morning, some of it is around, I could now study the word, I could now understand the word. When you sit under God's word for long, you will learn to study it. You don't realize what is happening to you when you are listening to the word. It's not just that you are learning what I'm saying. Now, I don't know how to put this, but you're also receiving the same ability to understand like I understand. I get to the point. That's why I tell friends sometimes, I say, if you want to understand the word, some will say, Asa, how do you study the Bible? I won't be able to understand the Bible like you. I tell you what to do. One of the easiest ways to understand the word of God is to stay under a teacher of God's word for a very long time. If I teach you for 4 hours, you will leave this place and be able to understand very well. Hallelujah. I think the ushers should open some of these places. Okay? Amen. If you live here, you will be able to understand perfectly. And so next Sunday, I'm going to be teaching you for a very long time. Are you excited about that? Well, this morning is going to still be just average. What is average in this church? 2 hours is average. Average, 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 average. Do you love the word of God? Do you love the word of God? Well, let me see. Even if you don't love God's word and you are here, it's still fine. You know, I said something to you some time ago. It is the leadership of the church that determines the taste bud of the people. If you see a church that all they love is comedy, it is the leadership that made them like that. Because they kept serving them comedy and they fell in love with comedy. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? When you see a church that loves to pray, it is the leadership that made them like that. They kept insisting on prayer, and they began to pray. And so one thing you must love here is God's word. After you love God's word, you love prayer. Hallelujah. Do you have some energy this morning with you? So I will see if I can round this teaching off. I've stopped a little and I'm back now. Recognizing the voice of God. We've covered a whole lot of grounds. We've covered so much. Recognizing the voice of God. Amen. Recognizing the voice of God. You know, some of the things I've said is, and maybe I should just start with that this morning, and that is putting a lot of emphasis on the need to always hear God. You know, one scripture we started with last time was Jeremiah 10 verse 23, where the Bible said that it is not in man to direct his ways. That's Jeremiah 10:23. It is not in man to direct his ways. Now, what that simply means is, if we leave you to be the one to determine your steps, you will miss it. It is not in man, it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And that's why we have a God that we can talk to and a God that can talk to us. Hallelujah. When we follow God's voice, it can work out a lot of things for us. One of it, for instance, is deliverance. Another thing it can work out, I was showing you the last time, the reason why Jesus was not killed at childbirth was simply the leading of the Spirit. An angel appeared to Joseph by the night and asked Joseph to carry this baby and run. Hallelujah. And so by the voice of God, one can experience deliverance. I also showed you how that voice can bring prosperity and increase. The fact that there was a famine in the land and everybody was running away from that land, and the Lord said to Isaac, Genesis 26, stay back. Don't go from this place. At the time when everybody was supposed to run away, God told him, stay back. And he stayed back and he saw, in the Bible told us that in that land, Isaac planted in that same land. And in that same year, he received a hundredfold increase by the leading of the Spirit. We saw the contrast of that story, which was the book of Ruth. How that a certain man called Elimelech ran away from his country because there was famine. And it didn't end well for him. He ended up losing his two children, Mahlon and Chilion. And you find out that sometimes the reason why people don't prosper and don't increase is because they don't listen to God's voice. In God's voice and in his leading, there is increase. Are you following me? And that's one of the greatest things you must do for yourself this year, is to prioritize hearing from God and asking him, what am I supposed to do? How am I going to do it? Always ask. And in case you don't know, he will always talk to you. Hallelujah. I was showing us in the past few weeks some of the mediums through which God speaks to us. I addressed the issues of the inward witness. Do you remember? Come on, are you in church this morning? I addressed the issue of the inward witness. That inward witness is that red light or that green light in your spirit, man. That when you want to do something, you just find this discomfort. You know, recently I was trying to make a decision. And I found out that decision, if I think about it carnally and in the flesh, look at the one I would have chosen. But once I begin to pray about it, it doesn't make sense again. I just know my inward witness saying, don't go that way. Hallelujah. That's the inward witness. That is the inward voice. A voice that speaks to your inward man. You may not hear it physically with your ear, but you hear it in your spirit. That was the voice that spoke unto Philip and told him to go and join himself to the Ethiopian eunuch. And that yielded results. Hallelujah. And we saw the inward witness. We saw the inward voice. Hallelujah. We saw things like inward perception. Where you perceive. And I said a little about that. How that you can perceive people. You can look at people and by inward perception, you know a thing or two about them. Now, sometimes you may not really know what you know about them. But you know there is something about them. We saw that story about... Come and put this off. That's the problem. Amen. We saw something about that woman who saw Elisha. Before Elisha could prophesy or could do anything, she said, I perceive that this man is a man of God. And that's perception. And Jesus did that a lot. Jesus knew people by perception. He just see them and he will know something about them. Hallelujah. So we touched all of that. And we saw some other things, like I dealt with the issues of visions. The fact that God can speak to us through visions. We saw about three types of visions. We saw the open vision, where God speaks to you through your physical eyes. We saw the inward vision, where God speaks to you through your spiritual eyes. You just see things. Others cannot see it, but you know you are seeing this. Sometimes your eyes are open, sometimes your eyes are closed, but you are seeing what you are seeing. Are you following me? And then we saw another type of vision called trance. Trance or maybe dreams. And I said a little on how to interpret visions, how to interpret dreams. Not even a little, I said a lot on it. I gave a full section to teach on interpreting visions. That's why if you don't have this teacher, you better get it. And you know, the media team have been doing a lot of job this period. Amen. Let's appreciate the media team, everybody. Come on. Hallelujah. Okay, so they've been doing well, but I want to say something to them too. That I want these messages on the site, at least that week it was released. Because people need to go over these things again and again to refresh themselves. Hallelujah. But then even if you don't have access to the site yet, if it's not on the site yet, you can go on YouTube. This is on YouTube. You can go there and listen to them again and again because they will refresh your mind on what you are doing. Amen. So one of other things I discussed that day, I discussed the issue of men. How God can use men to speak to you. Do you remember that? How God can use prophets. And I gave some very stern warnings that day. One of which is that God does not speak to you through strange voices. If God wants to pass an important information to you about your career, about your life, he would use a stray prophet you don't know. God is a family man. Hallelujah. And God operates in a family circle. And if you belong to a local church, the easiest thing God can do if he wants to talk to you through a man is to use your pastor. And you better learn this and be safe. The reason why false prophets are on rampage is because there are people listening to them. Amen. As a man of God, I know this, that you guys in this place are my responsibility. Now, God can speak to me through one or two persons, but I cannot give them that word with the same authority which I give it to you. I get the point. Because God cannot use me, for instance, to clearly tell someone what to do in his or her calling, someone who I'm not training. He's not under me. I don't even know him, I don't know his process. So I gave that warning that day. That's why it's good to be planted in a local church. That's how not to be deceived. And the thing about the local church is, how God works in the local church, sometimes it is not always spectacular. You know, what we understand by God leading us through men is that I'm standing on this stage and I just say, shamarabarabarabara, there is somebody here. That one is beautiful. I do all of that. But you see, part of the ways God will lead you through the local church, sometimes it's by simple instructions. Are you getting the point? Let me give an example. If God has called you, for instance, to be a pastor under your church. Now, listen, the leading of the Spirit for you is not that I'm praying and I say, oh, I see Abuja, you're going to Abuja. That's not leading. Leading is that I tell you to go to Abuja, whether I say thus says the Lord or not, God is using me to lead you and put you right. And that's one of the ways God will lead you. You know, somebody met me after the service that day, and it's something I wanted to talk about, but I didn't talk about it again. But he came and asked me the question. You know, all these people that say, I was walking along the road, and I see a madman. And the madman was telling me this, that it was correct. Have you ever had that kind of experience? Have you ever heard about it? Now, let me now advise you. When you hear those things, don't take it serious. Now, it doesn't matter how accurate they come. Are you following me? You ask me why. You know, some of our people went for mission somewhere. And they came. The first day they were just walking around the land, a madman saw them. Totally madman. I began to say, oh, these guys are men of God. I began to tell them things like, your pastor is doing well. Your pastor is training people well. You know, and that sounded sweet when they told me. I should have been saying, that's nonsense. Discard that rubbish. You don't need a madman to know that I'm training you well. If I'm not training you well, I'm not training you well. Are you following the point? Are you getting what I'm talking about? That's what happened in Acts chapter 16. How that this lady saw Paul. You remember? And Barnabas said, oh, these are the men that are teaching you the ways of the Lord. And Paul saw her and discerned that this was an evil spirit. You know, one of the ways to know that someone is a false prophet or not is not actually by how accurate the person sounds. Somebody can be very accurate and have the right details and is still a false prophet. Are you following me? The easiest way to know is your spirit. That's why we'll be talking about the inward man all the while. Since this year, I've been talking about, do you remember? From that first night, I've been talking about your inward man. Because if you master how that man acts and how he speaks, you'll be safe. Say, a madman walks up to you and says, don't take that in serious. If it is something God already has told you about yourself, fine, take it serious because God already told you. But don't, for instance, choose who you are going to marry because a madman met you on the way and said, that person you are with now is the right person. You are in trouble. You are in trouble. Satan will just play a smart one on you. Are you following me? I know relationships that are in trouble because of this. I am not joking. So I was walking on the road. My mother was walking on the road. And a madman met her and said, oh, your daughter will be a great person. But that man is with her. She's with. We destroy her. And then the mom comes back and begins to make trouble. You need to know how God operates and how he doesn't operate. Are you following me? Let me even add this. Even if the prophet speaking to you is a true man of God. Now, I've told you, you have your spirit man to check whenever a man speaks to you. And learn this as part of God's order. If it is about important decisions in your life, God will not use a strange voice to speak to you. Take it from me, test it anywhere you find that it is true. I gave an example that day. Which father or mother wants to pass, every time he wants to give an important information to the children, he will send a stranger they've not seen from anywhere. And not say, is this the house of Mr. Ogu? He say, yes. Are you his child? Yes. Your father told me to come and tell you. Where are my uncles? What of my mom? I didn't get the point. Why didn't he call my mom? Why didn't he call my uncle? If he's a smart child, he will question that particular visitor. Like what I'm saying. Where's my mother? What of my elder ones? What of my uncles? What of his friends that are living this? Why is it you that I have not met from anywhere that he sent? There were known prophets in Israel. There were known prophets in the early church. They were the ones like, who prophesied famine. His name was Agabus. We look at that this morning too. Who prophesied to Paul about his going to Jerusalem? The same Agabus. He was a known man. Most of us have itching ears. We just want to hear things. And once the man has got, I don't know why I'm giving this one. This is not part of my teaching this morning. But once the man has gotten the word correctly, there's a man there, your name is. He said, yes, 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 yes. Your phone number is, you're on your knees. That honor the gift of God. Then from that time, anything he says to you is correct. And you get into trouble. I have a son that a man of God, he has been, you know, listening to online or be watching his clips, came down to this Enugu. And I've never told him this. But at least he has seen it himself. Came all the way to this town. Great man of God, I respect, I celebrate. Strong in the prophetic, if you can say. Came to this town to minister and saw him. I said, oh, the hand of God is upon your life. That is a calling. It's time. That is a calling. It's time. And then he came to me and said, he wanted to start a church. Amen. And I asked him, I said, no, I didn't say anything. I just said, go back and pray. Pray a little man, come back. That's the job of a pastor. Amen. But no father exposes the children too quickly. I said, go back and pray. You want to start a church? This young man, you know, just less than 2 years in the faith, still trying to master how to do quiet time. I'm not joking. I know because I'm his father. I get the point. Still trying to master how to, was still trying to gain admission. And then because he looked, maybe he went to the meeting on suit. Now, I'm not doubting that there is a call of God upon his life. I get the point. What the man missed is timing. And he always missed the time because he doesn't know the person. And I said, go and pray. Pray again and come back. Now, don't think this was easy. That's why you need to be told. It wasn't this way because he went on and on. And my kind of person, I'm never going to tell you. I won't stop you like that. I'll just guide you. And he even came and said, Daddy, see the name of the church. I said, fine, continue. He continued. He was just trying to do so. I said, pray again. After he prayed, I said, fine, gain admission first. And again, after first year in school, he came to me and said, Daddy, yeah. I said, see, calm down. There is a call of God upon your life. I don't even know whether it is to start a church or not, but I know there's a call of God upon your life. And I began to teach him. I said, I'm not doubting the man of God. I respect him to the best I can. Very anointed, very worded too. But then, you must know how to relate with prophecies when they come from men. One, you have your spirit man. I tell you one more thing. You have men that God has placed over you that will guide you. And that's why I want to say to you, you don't belong to a local church where you are committed. It is easy to be led astray. Take it from me. It is this easy. Because there is no voice of guidance over your life. And when you want to be stupid, nobody will put you in place. And I tell you one thing you must do this year. As a little digression. be in the church and make yourself available to be instructed. Make yourself available to be led. Allow us to lead you. Now, if you can do that, it is very easy not to get into trouble. Are you following me? Because the things you will miss in your spirit, God won't let your church miss. As simple as that. He won't. And let me even say this to you. For some of you that feel you are very anointed, and maybe even more anointed than your pastor, let me say something to you. Even if you are more anointed than your pastor, God will still use your pastor to guide you. As a matter of fact, thinking you are more anointed than your pastor is a delusion, but let's leave that. There was a man in the Bible, his name was Eli. You remember Eli? God already had left Eli. God was done with Eli. Yet, when God spoke to Samuel, he took an experienced man like Eli. He didn't have the Holy Ghost, but he was experienced. Are you getting what I'm talking about? He took an experienced man like Eli to tell Samuel, that thing is God speaking to you. You can listen to him. Are you here, church? I just know what I'm doing. I know I heard my own voice. And I know what I heard. You will soon not know what you heard. I taught you some time ago, that was last week or last week, I said, in this issue of divine leading, I heard the voice of God. Please do not be in a hurry. But a hagin of blessed memory always tell us, it's better to be slower than God than to be faster than Him. So be sure God is speaking to you. Find out what he's saying. Check it. And that's what I'm going to talk about, judging prophecies today. But let's just do a little. So, you see, today I'm going to just take these teachings a step further. Amen. I know you're getting blessed already. So, we must seek to recognize God's word. God's voice. And I'm saying this morning, God wants you to have accuracy. That is something that happens to a lot of persons. I know it happens to you too. This sometimes tell you, I don't know whether it is God talking or whether it is my mind. Does it happen to you? God wants you to have accuracy, and I'm going to just say a little about how to have just very little stuff on accuracy. I have a full teaching on accuracy and precision and all that. But we should seek to recognize God's voice. You know, there's such an accuracy. I was giving an example in I think Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. After Saul on his way to Damascus, you know, he was now in the house. God appeared, a man had a vision. His name was Ananias, and not the Ananias that Peter killed. Amen. But then this Ananias, he was in a vision. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called straight. So, this vision, that's the point God is bringing you to. Amen. This vision was so accurate that it even carried the name of the street. The name of the street is straight. The house where this guy is Judas. The house of Judas. The guy's name is Saul. Look at what he's doing now. He's praying. Accurate. And apart from God that he's praying, God even told Ananias, look at this man already, he has had a vision. And he has already seen you. So just like Ananias coming to Paul and saying, look at the vision you had before. And that's the kind of accuracy God wants you to have. And that's the kind of accuracy your spirit man. You know, the reason why we don't always have accuracy is not because God is not talking clearly. It's because, pay attention to this, I showed you, your spirit man is complete in knowledge. So when words come, then your spirit man, he knows everything. However, it is your mind that processes the things that God says. So by the time he goes from your spirit to your mind, one or two things can get very confusing. Because it's your mind. Are you getting me? So what actually needs accuracy is not your spirit, it's your mind. So, basically, I had accuracy. We saw that case of things like that. I think in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 5. 1 Samuel 16 verse 5. You see other cases of a man being so accurate. And that was, and I like using this scripture because you see how this happens. The man was Samuel. You know, Samuel was, maybe this will encourage some of you. Samuel was such an anointed man of God. The Bible said God never allowed his words to fall to the ground. But when he got to the house of Jesse to anoint a person, you see what I just told about your spirit and your mind? His mind came into play. He saw Eliab, he said, aha, behold, this must be. See how tall, this one, if you wear suits like this and use pin mic, this must be the man of God. So you see your mind coming into play. Are you following me? So his mind, he said, it must be this guy. No, it must be that guy. No, it must be that guy. He kept missing it. He missed it a couple of times. It must be this guy. God will say, no, I've not chosen that one. He said, oh, wow. And progressively, all the children finished. And he said, is there no other person? He said, there is one more. His name is David. So even as accurate as Samuel was, we still find that his mind got in the way of God's voice. Are you getting me? So it can happen. But God wants us to press for accuracy to the point that we'll be able to know for real, oh, this is what it is for real. One of the best scriptures I like reading when I teach on accuracy is 1 Kings chapter 14. I love that scripture. With passion. Because I love when people are that accurate and that precise. We read the story of a man, a king, an evil king. 1 Kings chapter 14, from verse 1. We read the story of an evil king, you know, called Jeroboam. His son fell sick, so he continued. Verse 2. Look at the screen. And Jeroboam said to his wife, arise. Do you know the story? Arise, I pray thee, disguise thyself, that thou be not known, and thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam. So, woman, disguise, scatter your makeup, cover your face, wear nose mask, just look somehow, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over these people. So it was this Ahijah that prophesied unto him, but when he went into power, he forgot the man, and forgot the word of God. And that's the story of many people. Not for today. That's many people's story. Oh, you will be great. They're on their knees shouting, amen. Oh, I receive. Once the greatness happens, you won't see them again. So by the time he has stayed away from the man for a long time, he now wanted to get, when the son now fell sick, he now wanted to go back to God and inquire of the man. But how do you come back where you've left for maybe 30 years? Because it's whenever there's a problem, remember that there's a man in it. I have a pastor. I have people like that. They can survive for 8 months. Suddenly, trouble shows up. It's true. I have a pastor. Your uncle says, good evening. Do you know who is speaking? How can I know? I don't know who is speaking. So you mean you don't have my number again before? So you don't know my voice? I really, really don't know your voice. And some people are perpetually foolish. Even if you solve that problem for them, they will still go. But it's even better that you came back. And you come back and say you are sorry. But this guy was, his heart was really reprobate. Instead of coming back to come and, you know, talk to, say, I'm Jeroboam, I'm sorry. He sends the wife and says, disguise yourself. That the prophet will not know. Do you know the funny thing about the story? The prophet he was going to meet was blind. Physically blind. So why will you disguise to go and meet a blind prophet? Glory to God. Say with me, say, I am accurate. I am precise. You see, Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by the sun. So age has come on him, and he was already blind. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh. Hallelujah. So before she could even come, God already told the man, see, there's a woman coming here. Look at who she is. Look at why she's coming. Look at what you will tell her. Look at she disguised herself. See what you should tell her. And of course, but see, I love how it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door that he said, come in, that one from Jeroboam. Glory to God. And it's what God wants us to do. We can see clearly like that. We can know clearly like that. And one of the ways to achieve this, they will look very simple, but you know, some of the things God said to me yesterday, while I was listening to my spiritual father, you know, one of the statements he made and it resonated in my heart. The word of God is not going to work for you because you hear it all the time. The word of God will work for you because you do it. It's all that I'm teaching in this church. If you don't do them, they're useless. We teach you all, study your Bible. If you don't do them, they are useless. Galatians chapter 6, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth shall he reap. And my dad said something yesterday. He said, if I give you a regimen, or I announce in this church, everybody here should pray and fast every day, and you do not do it, even if you like be reporting, done, I've done it. If you don't do it, when it is time, the result will show. The result will show. It will show your spiritual life. Because these things I'm going to share will be simple things that you've heard. But can you dare this year to be a doer of the word? Are you following me? So, you want to be that accurate. Colossians 3:16 tells us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonition. In all wisdom, he now said, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This scripture appears again somehow in Ephesians 5 verse 18. It says, be not drunk with wine, bearing in its essence, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So, you know, he's talking about absolutely spiritual things. And he tells us in Colossians that how to achieve this is that we must let the word of God dwell in our hearts richly. And I kind of tell people that when you learn to read God's word a lot and meditate on it a lot, you will become clearer both in your perceiving of spiritual things and your interpretation of them. You don't have to understand it, just do it first. Stay on God's word for long. When I mean for long, it's not 2 hours. It's not 5 hours. What I mean is every day. Some of us don't realize that the kind of thing that blesses, kind of studying that blesses, is really not that study you do for 7 hours in one day. It is that study you do 1 hour every day for the rest of the year. Are you following me? Now, when you study God's word for long, it helps you to understand, to see clearly what God is saying. Very, very powerful stuff. So you get more accurate. But when I put it in my note, I said, staying on God's word, reading, confessing, meditating on it for long, sharpens your spiritual senses. It makes you very sensitive. It helps you to be able to pick up anything that is flying. Signals fly all the time in the spirit. Do you get what I'm saying? I like that I use signals because I'm going to talk about prayer shortly. Let me explain to you how, don't say hear from God, what it means. Do you know that in this room now, there is Al Jazeera in this room. Is that right? Do you know? There is CNN in this room now. There is Super Sports here. Are you watching it? But there is. So you now bring a decoder, connect to an antenna outside, and the antenna begins to drag the thing. Now, it's not when the antenna began to drag it that it has always been here. Every time there is a leading around, there is the voice of God speaking to you. When you get yourself spiritually sensitive by God's word and by prayer, you can be able to pick it. I know what I'm talking about. That's what it means. Like now, you have your phone right there. Let me use that example now. What? How many SIM cards does your phone have? One, MTN. That's it. Now, but you know, she has MTN. But actually, there is Glow in this room. Or is there? There is Glow in this room. There is Airtel network here. There is maybe Etisalat. I believe there is. Amen. But then, she can only access MTN. Because the device she has can only connect to MTN. Now, every time God is speaking, we are not sensitive enough to pick what he's saying. And that's why you bury your head in the word. Remember, I was showing you a scripture. That was the last Thursday I taught on this. How that John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Do you remember that? And I showed you what it means. John began to show the secret to how he saw the whole book of Revelation. You know, the whole book of Revelation is a vision. one man saw. He said, how did I see it? He said, on the last day, I was in the spirit. Now, we know that every believer is always in the spirit. However, John was saying, the atmosphere I was in, I was conscious of the supernatural. I was either praying in the Holy Ghost, or meditating on the word, or muttering in tongues. I get the point. And then, I heard a voice. That's why, you see, you cannot expect to be accurate with hearing spiritual voices if you fill your life with so much carnality. Now, please, everybody, listen to what I'm saying. Because sometimes you say, God doesn't speak to me. I don't hear him. God is speaking. You just don't hear. I just gave an example of your phone. So much carnality. Now, carnality may not be seen. It may be seen too. But when the better part of your day is occupied with single, like, people say things to me like, is there anything wrong with secular songs? There is nothing wrong with secular songs. If it is not corrupt. But if that is the only song on your phone, the only song you sing, how can you see a vision by singing Olamide's song? How can that happen? I'm not saying all the songs are bad. But if you just tune your mind to some of those secular stuff, it is difficult to pick from the spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? You fill your mind with movies. The better part of the day you're watching movies. Now, it's not bad. It's even bad. You won't be productive. How do you guys do that? You know, once in a while you could just do movies. But some people, every day, you wonder why you are poor. Every day. This is orientation on diligence. But I can just warn you to mind yourself this year. You think that's how these people that you are watching their movies, possibly by the time you are watching it, they are on another set, working for their money for the next movie. And then the next 21 days, I must finish this season. I must finish it. Now you can't feel your life so much canality and expect to always speak what God is saying. Do you know this is the secret of retreats? When you see people say, I just carried my Bible and I went to a mountain, I spent 3 days and God spoke to me. You know what happened? They cut off canalities, removed their phone. I know what I'm talking about. They just stood. It's not like God was speaking more then. Who is following what I'm saying? If you give yourself to the word and to prayer, you will hear better and hear clearer. I kind of feel that's why the previous generation had more access to the things of the spirit than us. Why? There was no much distraction in their day. Now a believer can burn 8 hours on Facebook watching nonsense. He has not prayed that day. And yet he expects that God will talk to him and he will hear. So much distraction, so much carnality, so much, a lot of things interfering with what God wants to tell you. And what do you see on Facebook? All the nonsense. All the comedy. And some of you on Facebook, Instagram, the only people you follow are comedians. You know, there is a way to turn even that thing which is your leisure and your distraction to become a blessing. It's one small blessing. Small. You are addicted. You're not addicted. You're always on Facebook. At least follow sensible people so that at least you can use your data to watch something good. But no. Comedy. Dance video. How to cook. Different daily kisses. I'm talking to you directly. Hallelujah. Different makeup. How do you even expect that God is going to talk to you like that? Try what I'm saying. If there's any area of your life you're trying to get guidance on and you're not getting it, cut off everything. Just a full day. Switch off your phone, switch off everything. Store your Bible from morning, let's say 7 o'clock, till evening. It's every single direction you need to show. Everyone. That's what is called waiting upon the Lord. Every direction. Now, it's not like God began to speak to you more then. That's why some people come to me and say, I don't know, sir, I don't know if it is my mind. I always tell you, go and pray more. What I'm trying to tell you is, go and cut off, stay more. 6 hours. You hear? Imagine giving all your mind to meditation on God's word. And I was teaching you the other day, do you know you can determine the dreams you see? There are dreams I cannot see. I cannot have. Do you see dreams I have? I can't have dreams. Such nonsense dreams. Try what I'm saying. You want to sleep in the night? Before you sleep, you just say a word of prayer or just spend like 30 minutes in the Holy Ghost. And then you just stay. If you're very close to me, you should know. Most times before I sleep, I'm not one of you. You know, some of you that can just close your eyes and you move. I'm not like that. I don't know how you guys do it. Just say, I'm about to sleep. I've slept. Do you pretend or do you really sleep? You really sleep. Wow. You are blessed. But for me, when I lie down, I can spend like 5-10 minutes. Now, what I do with that 5-10 minutes will determine the kind of sleep I'm going to have. I want a good sleep, peaceful one, dream. My mind is on God's word. Maybe I'm going over what, maybe a program we are planning, or maybe after today now, it's a regular routine. If I sleep this night, I'm just going to stay on Sunday service, go over all the things that I said and was said. Now, I just sleep like that. Sometimes, if you stay on that kind of thing, by the time you sleep, sometimes you repeat the Sunday service in your dream. And you repeat it in your dream. Sometimes, have you noticed when a meeting is coming up and you are praying so much for it, you go to sleep, you attend the meeting before the meeting. Does it happen to you? But you fill your life with so much frivolities. You don't spend time on God's word. Well, amen. So you pray a lot in the Holy Ghost. You know, one perfect example of what I'm sharing with you now, I think it's Daniel chapter 2, verse 17. Some of you hear stories that, Daniel came and interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He told him to interpret it. How did he do that? When the king called them to tell, the king was mean. He said, tell me my dream and interpret it. Now, how did Daniel do that? Daniel went in and desired of the king, go back to verse 17, that he would give him time. I get the point. He went to his house and made it known to Azariah and all that. Verse, come on, go back to 16. You are moving here and there. 16. Amen. Daniel went to the side of the king that he would give him time. So he didn't just appear there and say, oh wow, some of you think it's just about gifting. Daniel just goes there and says, okay, sir, I'll just tell you what the dream is. He told the king, well, you need this. Give me time. If you give me time, I will tell the king. So what did he do? See verse 17. So you see how to hear from God and be accurate. He went to his house and made it known to Hananiah. You know who these people are? Mishael and Azariah. Who are they? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they are the original names. All those Shadrach, Meshach, they are Babylonian names that the king gave to them. I get the point. So he made it known to them. And says, look at what the king said. Now see what they did. That they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven. Was in the secret. So they went to pray. Say, guys, see what the king said. Let's pray. Guess what happened? In the night, boom, Daniel had a dream. It was given to him in a night vision. Just went to sleep and the thing came. So you want to have that accuracy. You see prayer, you see the word, give it attention. Why do you think that if I want to hold, Holy Ghost meetings and all that, and you are close to me, what you notice is throughout that period, I'm on the Bible or I'm very quiet. 2-3 things you notice if you are very close to me, maybe it's always coming. I have so much time to study and I have many quiet moments if you're around me. So people that don't know me keep asking me, Papa, are you fine? Yes, I'm fine. A lot of quiet moments. I told you that words are spiritual energy. I told you, right? Very quiet moments. I'm just very calm and I'm praying a lot in the Holy Ghost. Praying a lot in the Holy Ghost. That I'm not just quiet, because the thing about your mind can never be like that. So once I'm quiet, I'm engaging my mind, I'm on God's word, I'm just going over my message, going over stuff in my head, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And it's very easy to see clearly. Most of the time, I see meetings before they come. And it's not just what I see practically meetings before they come. I see what I will do at some point. I see that at some point this will happen. I see sometimes where some of you will sit in the meeting. And it's not by, he's anointed or he's gifted. No. If you give the spiritual attention, it's just like putting MTN SIM on your phone or Glo SIM on your phone. You begin to drag the network. Are you following me this morning? Are you listening to me? So give attention to the spiritual. So the word of God, prayer, I'll just say a few more things. Obedience. Anytime God speaks to you, no matter how small it is, act on it. It is in your consistent acting on what God has said to you that you get bolder with them. So God tells you, oh, do this, do it immediately. When you do it, for instance, some of you know that one of the ways to get bolder with the Holy Spirit is God just tells you, this is like this. Once you do it and it turns out good, you are now bolder to do the next one. Are you following me? So God says, you go out there and minister to that brother. Just a simple thing in your heart. Don't fight. Go do it. By the time you minister to his brother and it turns out good, you've mastered that God speaks to me this way. Next time he comes again, you can boldly obey. So obey everybody. It can be, you know, today, don't rush home from service. Meet that brother and have a talk with him. It's as simple as that. So when it comes down by the inward witness or participation or whatever, obey. If you constantly obey the simple things God tells you, you will get bolder with that voice. And that voice will get clearer. Amen. Of course, the next things I'm going to say, number three or number four now, you want to have better accuracy, be consistent with listening to the voice of God, obeying and following. Be consistent. And this is where many of us have issues. If I'm done teaching on this now, and that's maybe God, if God permits me next Sunday, part of what I'm going to share with you strongly will be on consistency. Because that is what where many of us have issues. When I'm done teaching on things like this, the answer then I was blessed. From now I'll start to obey. I'm just listening to God. I'll start asking him. Now you obey it, and then in 2 months or 1 week sometimes you are done. You cannot get more accurate with hearing God's voice if you hear him once in a while. I gave you an example last Sunday, or the last Sunday I taught on this. How a child masters the father's voice is by what? Consistency. How does a child know that voice speaking now is daddy, the other one speaking is mommy? Yes, we hear it. If you build a culture of paying attention, or, you know, when a child, you know, is born newly, you can speak and confuse the child. But as a matter of fact, science has proven now that even when a child is in the mother's womb, it hears. In fact, it's even said that when a child is in the mother's womb, it can master the father's voice. Do you understand? That's why men, praise God, though. Brothers, praise God. Now, when your wife is pregnant, that's not the time to travel all over the world. When you spend some time, if you get to a time, when you come in, the baby is kicking. The baby knows that the father just arrived. Say amen. Don't make your child accustomed to your wife's boss's voice. When the boss comes in, he just starts rejoicing. Or your gate man. Or your driver. Amen. But you see the secret, even a baby in the womb, because the father is speaking every day, discussing with the mom, he just somehow knows that that's my dad's voice. If you can constantly hear, constantly follow, now you will be more accurate next year than you are today. If you constantly hear and follow. But if you hear once in a while, maybe just follow God's voice this month, and the next time you just care, want to know what he's talking about, is in May, because it's pastor's birthday. And then after that, November, because he's away. Then after that, January again, because you are now teaching on how to hear from God. You pay attention all the time. Consistency. And then, maybe I just say one more thing before we continue. You know, you be very consistent. And maybe I could say to somebody, dare to believe what you hear. Dare to believe that the things you hear. One of the things that many of us lack, we lack confidence. Not even in God. We lack confidence in ourselves in God. Such that God can tell you something. The reason why you do not believe God is speaking to you is because you don't believe God can speak to you. Can I say to you, half of the time, if not more than half of the time, that thing you normally say, am I sure it is God or it is not, is actually God. You're doubting yourself in Christ. Are you following me? How many of you know that for everyone that says, God says the Lord, at first, there is always a slight doubt whether it is God or whether it is me. Do you know this? Being able to conquer that doubt and be confident, that makes you more accurate. Hallelujah. Has God ever spoken to you and you are doubting, is it or is it not? And then somebody now says it. Has that happened to you? And you now say, kai, kai, kai. So it's actually... Hallelujah. So I hear from the Spirit. And I pay attention. Now, when these words come, that is what we call judging prophecies. I have a lot of things to share with you this morning, so I'll just rush. That's what we call judging prophecies. Why do you have to judge? Let me show 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. He said, let the prophet speak two or three. He said, in a church, if I'm having a Holy Ghost meeting, and then people have prophetic words to give. That's why you notice when I have Holy Ghost meetings here, I don't just allow everybody to start up and start saying, Rabba, ba, 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 thus says the Lord. No, I don't do that. If you have a word, you come up. I give you the mic, you talk. When we are done, you go back. That's what he's teaching here. He said, when they're speaking two or three, let the other judge. So what is the other judging? The other is judging what they are saying. Why do we judge prophetic words? We judge, first of all, because not all prophecies are of God. There are prophecies that are from the devil. And there are prophecies, some, that are from men. People can misunderstand prophetic words. People can misunderstand words from the Spirit. I mean, God can speak to you accurately and you deliver it wrongly because of your exposure and your knowledge. Are you what I'm talking about? Are you getting what I'm talking about? I give an example. God can show me, I like using sin because that is where people make mistakes a lot. God can show me that there is this brother around, along this place that has been committing a particular sin. And maybe because of what I know, what I think I know. How I'm going to interpret, I'm not just say praise the Lord, then I can hear from the Lord. Brother, you come. God is very angry with you and he's going to destroy your life very soon. Do you see? God spoke to me about that brother. How that he has a problem. But because in my own understanding of the scriptures, I believe that when God is angry with people, he kills them. Are you what I'm saying? I'll deliver that. That's what we do with prophetic words. I've already said, another reason why you judge is because some prophetic words are from the devil. In case you know, there are agents of Satan in church. And even if there are no agents of Satan in church, a believer can want sometimes give heed to familiar spirits and speak by them. Let me show you a scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. So if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams comes up, and because what he told you came to pass, he's now telling you, oh, let us go after these foreign gods. Because I get what he's saying. Maybe I came and prophesied, oh, next tomorrow you will have 10 million. You say, amen, and you receive it. And you have it. And then I now come up another and say, well, there is this other god of the Philistines we should go after. Being verse 3, the way that happens, thou shalt now hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dream of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And in fact, from what I'm sharing with you now, you're already seeing one of the very first keys in judging prophecies. But let's slow down. One of them is prophecies, when you receive them, they must glorify Christ. It cannot glorify Satan. It cannot glorify man. It cannot glorify the flesh. You see, the man is saying, because what I spoke to came to pass, let's go after certain God. He said, don't listen to him. In fact, if you proceed in this chapter, he said that prophet should be stoned. Hallelujah. He should be put to death. And so, one of the ways to know whether to judge prophecies, as I'm talking to you by prophecies, or somebody's talking to you, or maybe as you're hearing, you think you're hearing from God. What I'm hearing, does he glorify Christ? Or is he glorifying the flesh? Or is he glorifying Satan? In Revelation 19 verse 10, it tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19 verse 10. He said, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Are you still here? In John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John began to tell his people how to know the spirits that are of God and ones that are not. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone into the world. Now, how do you try the spirits? Verse 2, hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. So, we can't, you know, when someone is speaking by the spirit, we are paying attention. What is he saying? Does he glorify Christ? Is he glorifying sin? Is he glorifying Satan? What is he glorifying? Another way to test the spirits or to judge prophecies is that the prophetic words you receive, either from God directly by yourself or through men, must never contradict the scriptures. I say this all the time. It must never contradict the scriptures. Never. Never. In John 6:63, Jesus told them, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What does that mean? It means the word of God and the spirit of God is one. The word of God cannot contradict the spirit of God. The spirit is found in the word. Hallelujah. Some of you remember Zoe 2017. You remember? Who remembers Zoe 2017? What was the theme? The word and the spirit. And I did a teaching on born of the word, born of the spirit. The word and the spirit can never fight. In other words, God cannot tell me something that is against his word. Amen. That's why I told you a few minutes ago when I started that a prophet can speak to you and you part. What is he saying? Is it according to God's word? Is it according to God's order? It's according to God's order. There is something, an evil I see in my generation among new creation worded guys, in quotes. They get into a church and then because they feel that church does not teach much new creation like they would want the church to teach, what do? They begin to gather disciples unto themselves and believe that God led them to bring the truth to that church and begin to gather disciples and begin to deceive them. What you are doing is deception. You know, let me tell you something. Listen, pay attention to this, I'm going to say. If you have a different revelation from what I have, and you feel I'm not getting it right, and you feel there are deeper realms to swim into, get out and go and swim on the deeper realms by yourself. Are you getting me? Don't say, the Lord told me. And then you come, I teach something on Sunday, you go to your cell meeting on Tuesday. You say, the Lord led me to say something else. Which Lord led you? Your flesh is leading you. How do you know? The Bible tells us about God. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. God does not dwell in indecency. He doesn't dwell in disorder. Are you in church this morning? The word of God and the spirit of God must have that agreement. So when God is speaking or somebody is speaking, pay attention. The word of God. The number three way to judge prophecy, I'll just stop here and move to other things because there's something I want to address today before we close. The number three way to judge prophecies is one that is by the anointing. Now, I was talking about the anointing on that first night. By the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is one of the most accurate ways. Every believer, that's what I've been talking about in word man. Every believer has the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the Holy Ghost. Every believer has the Holy Ghost. So when words are coming, whether you are seeing open visions, you are checking the Holy Ghost, checking your spirit, man. If I'm talking to you and telling you, oh, God is about to do this. Now, a prophet is just speaking. You're checking your spirit, man. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. From verse 18, I'm going to verse 27. Let's see verse 18. The little children, everybody pay attention to this because this will help you. It is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. But this guy is talking about, we are once in church. I used this scripture to answer a question for somebody recently. They went out from us, they are not of us, but if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So these guys were in church and suddenly went out. Now, going out from church in this sense is not leaving a local assembly. Do you understand? They were believers and suddenly began to talk other nonsense. And John is saying they were never believers in the first place. They were just in church disguising as believers. Are you what I'm saying? They were never. Now watch. Next verse, verse 20. Now, after that, he said, but you have an unction from the Holy One. Go back to 19. Let's get the flow again. Go back to 19. Watch. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would know that have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Verse 20. But you have an unction. So, how are we able to know these guys? You have an unction of the Holy Ghost. Are you getting the point? That's why there is such a thing as descending of spirits. That's why it's not as with spiritual perception. People can be operating and I can tell you that thing is an evil spirit. That guy doesn't know what he's saying. That thing is a familiar spirit. How do I know the Holy Ghost? Let's give an example. Well, see, verse 21. Verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it and know that no lie is in the truth. It's of the truth, okay? Who is a liar? He began to go over what I just showed a few minutes ago. He that denied that Jesus is Christ, he is Antichrist, that denied the Father and the Son. Whoever denied the Son, the same had not the Father, but he that acknowledged the Son had the Father also. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. So, he's taking them on the word. He's saying, know the word. This is what the word of God teaches. Now, if that which you had from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. As soon as he's going to pay attention here. This is a very known to you concerning them that seduce you. There are people that try to deceive you. People that try to lure you with their prophecies, lure you with false teachings, lure you with false doctrine. That are written concerning them. Now, verse 27 is where I'm going to. But the anointing that you have received of him abideth in you, and you do not need any man to teach you. Now, this is not saying that you don't need any teacher in your life. He's saying, concerning this false prophet's thing, nobody should teach you because that's the Holy Ghost in you. Will just show you that that's a false prophet. If you listen to him. Are you following me? So you have the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Ghost. And I wish believers can begin to pay attention to these two things, the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. Many men of God come out, or men of God in God, and I begin to do some things. I am checking my Bible. These guys are not in any way close to Scripture. But are any? Go all over Facebook. People on their comment section. Write on, sir. I tap. Sometimes you see how, not about prophets now, you see how some people live their lives on social media. How they spend money. How they behave. You can already tell that one, some people get this money by dubious means. But then you see believers who are not discerning get on their comments and saying, I tap. What are you tapping into? What, be a kidnapper? I tap into your grace. Yeah, why tapper? You just tap, tap, tap everywhere. What are you tapping? Stop that. And you know, you tap into their grace. Somebody stole money. And that's why sometimes, every time they catch me, they say, this is a popular kidnapper arrested. I normally go to his Facebook wall. And I see believers there. Whenever he posts pictures, they are tapping. So you see what you've been tapping all the while. Better begin to re-say those words you said. Father, I untap. I close that tap in Jesus' name. That tap I open. Father, let it not flee again. That's how you get into trouble. You tap. Amen. Be discerning. Please touch me. Say, be discerning. Be discerning. Touch your neighbor. Learn to discern. You see, everything is not of God. Everybody is not of God. Every spirit is not of God. Even men of God, some of them are not of God. Can you see the irony? Some men of God are not of God. Look, men of God, I mean, you quote it. Some men of God, because they're not really men of God. They're not of God. But we lack discernment. Anything that just looks churchy, I'm there. I don't want to mention it, so that I don't want to attack, but I see some videos I see on social media, and I say, are these people blind? How can there be 5,000 blind people in a single place? In the crowd there, blinded by nonsense. Anyway, the church has a lot of work to do. Because I'm talking about, you know, the Holy Ghost just took me now. We have a lot of work to do. I'm talking about people that follow men of God blindly, even though they're not of God. There are some on Facebook who clearly tell you they use demonic powers, that they are herbalists, and believers are on their comment section collecting number and prophecies. There's the other one, Mami. I hope, let me tell you, if you are a Mami follower, you're not my member. All those digital logbang jetting, demons that you invite into your life, and they fly into your life. I see married women who are ushers in church, collecting stones from those guys, buying things to apply when their boss, so their husband can be attracted to them. Shame on you. Big time. You can't be discerned. That one doesn't mean discernment. This one is telling you, I'm a native doctor. And you are going. You know what is going to happen? You're opening the door for Satan into your family. It won't be long. You know, people, you know, do you know that it's deliverance ministry? You know, Shay? Pay attention, pay attention. Demons oppress human beings. And so people open their lives to demons. I don't believe in deliverance ministry the way some people do it, where they say, oh, come for deliverance, anything is deliverance. But some people open their doors to demons. They will still bring you here, will still cast it out. And always remember, once you let the devil into your life, he will not stop. Be very discerning. All these prayer houses, most of them are not of God. I hope you know. You don't know. Most of them, be very discerning. And you have to tell your father or your mother to please stop taking your name to those places. And no matter how they complain or blackmail you, never follow them to those places. Are you getting what I'm saying? I say no matter, I'm not being sentimental now. No matter how they complain, you have to be polite and respectful. Sir, ma, I will not go. There are some people, once they are singing here, they are there. So when you want on our phone, they are there. Why are you like this? Can't be discerning. You think Satan is sleeping? Working so hard. I don't know what happens. You go to those places, you've opened the door. You know your mind is a... You know how the Spirit of God operates. It doesn't force itself on you. So you now open the door for Satan. You think that, well, Satan, number one, is even a trespasser. He enters where you didn't send him. Not talk of when you now open it and tell him to come. Because with his generation, they will come. That's what the Bible calls a lawful captive. And the thing I'm going to bring this year is going to be very, it's going to shock many of you. But let that time come. Amen. I already made the message on my note too. Well, I'm just waiting for when the Lord will say go. Maybe next month or next 2 months. It's a full teaching on spiritual warfare. Amen. As some of you will see that, so, you don't believe us to fight spiritual warfare. Do you know? You don't know. I saw somebody on Facebook writing, a believer cannot be cursed. There is no curse for a believer. And he's cursed. No, that this is not just insult. I could see by the Spirit, I'm saying it sincerely, that this guy is oppressed and laboring on the curse. Listen to me. A believer should not be cursed. In reality, a believer is not cursed. But a believer can live on the curse. Say amen. Okay, if you don't understand, because I'm using the word cause, let's use another word. A believer should not be sick, true or false. A believer is not even sick in his spirit, man, true or false. But a believer can struggle with sickness. Now, when a believer finds sickness upon his life, does he keep saying, all I know is that even though I'm having a neck, I am not sick. All I know is even though that I cannot walk, I'm on the wheelchair. Oh, God. You're on the wheelchair. You're on the wheelchair. And if you can stay like that till you die. There are satanic patterns in families.
Don't worry.
I'll see you next month too. Or next 2 months. And I'm going to teach you these things from a New Testament perspective. But whether they happen, they happen. Amen. You know, some of you, it's not good to... Are there things you have seen and wait till you appetite? I saw you be in church next month or next 2 months. Are there things that you have seen in your father and your mother and then you begin to grow up and you begin to see the same thing happening to you? Yeah? Amen. Let's leave that part. Say, I have the anointing. Say, I am anointed. Glory to God. So that's how to judge. Now, let me say this very quickly. When personal prophecies come, because I'm going to narrow this down. That's what I'm going to say today. We have received a lot from the Lord this year. This is our year of light. This is our year of fruitfulness. And God has spoken to you, and He's speaking. Words are flying. It's January. Every January, we go over the same process again. This is my year of open door, my year of breakthrough. And then December comes, doors are not open, through did not break. Or break did not through. And then the year ends. And you get again in January. It is this year, this year is that year. Last year was that year too. But nothing happened. Look at how to, when you have to respond to personal prophecies, either from a prophet or a word from God for you. Number one, please pay attention. Take note of the prophecy. What I mean is, when a prophetic word comes, when God speaks to you, write it down or record it. Please, this is what I'm teaching you now. I've said it before, but the Lord brought it as a major emphasis to me yesterday. I've never seen it from that light. Write it down or record it. Write it down. 1 Timothy 4 verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in you. Don't neglect it that came on you by prophecy, by the laying on of hands. Timothy, don't neglect it. How will you not neglect it? You have to know it. We say words and you forget them. What I mean write it down is, if I took like 5 minutes to talk to you, once you sit down, pen it down. If you don't know what to do, record. That's why I spoke to the media team earlier. Some of this will be made available. When I go to meetings and my pastor speaks over me, or I go on YouTube, or I get that clip and keep it safe. You need to record those prophecies. Look at what the Lord said to me yesterday. I've never seen from that light. He said to me, the reason why there is a book, like the book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Amos, all these books are prophecies. It's because a man or some men took time to record everything God said to them. Now it's a book you can read. If you begin to keep record of everything God has been telling you all the while, that the reason why this was not come to pass is because by the next 1 week or 2 weeks or 1 month, you've forgotten that those things ever came. So you record it. You see, when God was speaking to Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2, He said, write the vision. Make it plain. Write the vision. Habakkuk, I am speaking to you. Don't just see the vision. Write it. Document it. That's why you come to church with a pen, your notepad. That's why you pray with your pen. Do you pray with your notepad? Let me tell you, prayer is not prayer until you've communicated with God. Prayer is dialogue, not monologue. When you're praying, have your phone and your notepad or your pen. As those who are coming, be writing them down. Don't waste your prayer moments. Amen. I've had experiences where I'll be in the bedroom and God will speak to me. You know, I will even use the soap I learned from a man of God and write it on the wall so I can't forget it. Just make some marks. I'll clean it after, don't worry. You have to take notes. Now, look at why you record prophetic words. One of the reasons is so that you can make war with them. So you can engage, because words don't just come to pass. Some of them, you have to pray with them. Look at what he told Habakkuk. The vision is for an appointed time. That's verse 3. Do you know the vision he's talking about here? The vision about the coming of Christ. He told Habakkuk, it's for an appointed time. What I'm telling you will not happen now. But write it. The reason why we have details about how Jesus came. Do you know that Isaiah's prophecy came more than 2,000 years before Jesus came? But it was recorded. That's why we were able to see that a child shall be born. He shall be called Emmanuel. If those prophecies were not recorded, we would not even know. Because by the next month, people that heard it have forgotten. Your brain is not that retentive. And look at that prophecy of Isaiah. It did not get fulfilled in his lifetime. It got fulfilled many years after, but it was recorded and written. And that's some of you have you read the book for this month, I Believe in Visions. You see how the man, Brother Hagin, documents the things God says to him. I was talking to the ministers about it on Friday. You read Brother Hagin's material, you see the time. You say 7 p.m., 7:13 p.m. on a Monday. There are some you read, it will tell you, I was wearing a black shirt and a red top. And that is how to preserve those moments. Are you following me? One problem Africa has, I've been saying it all the time, we have a terrible problem with record keeping. Send the ministers on Friday night. You know, the reason why we read God's General and we are blessed is not because those are the most amazing moves of God that the world has ever known. It's because those were the recorded moves of God. Who has read God's General here? Let me see one. If you've not read it, read it. So, in fact, that's your book for next month. I'm already telling you ahead of time. So, I started reading it now. It was the first God's General. Why some succeeded and why some failed. You read, that's, they have amazing stories. But do you know, some of those amazing stories are experiences that we have in church here sometimes every Sunday. Sometimes. How many of you were at Start the Fire last year? Raise of facts in the last year, the last night. Do you see the kind of presence, the kind of supernatural moves that we have? Some of those things, I think it was Raise of Facts that we finished, and for hours, for minutes, sometimes people couldn't go home. Some were carried home, some were under the influence through the night. Those experiences are amazing, but we can forget them in 2 years. Because there is nobody that is documenting those things, either recording, videoing them and keeping the video safe for years to come. Or record. So how do we even appreciate the things God is doing among us? I get to the point. You read some of these God's General, I appreciate what they did. But you see things like, oh, in the meeting, about 3 people went under the anointing and began to speak in tongues. Come on. This is what happens sometimes in your cell meeting. But we have a terrible spirit of poor record keeping, and that's why we cannot appreciate what God is doing in our midst. Now, bring it home to your prophetic words. God tells you what he will do. He has told you. You've not bent them down. Oh. You say, I know it. Don't say, oh, I receive. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You've forgotten all of them. You keep forgetting them batch by batch. In case the only thing you remember is, God just said, I will make it right. That's not all that God said. You've missed a very important part of that message. So the first thing is, 1 Timothy 1 verse 18, Paul told Timothy that he should be able to make war with the prophecies that God spoke to him. He said, this child I commit unto thee, Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. You know what this means? When God speaks to you, it doesn't come to pass automatically. Some of them, I was in touch today. Some of them, you have to engage them for months, for years, to keep praying and stay on them till they come to pass. Now, if you forget them, how can they come to pass? I told you guys, platform of grace is a blessing. Is it a blessing to you? But you know, I would have ended this ministry in 2016. Because you got the time. That time, we're not even like a full church. We're still just a student church. PG became a church that was not a student church in 2019. But before there was just a student church, you know, operating in a student environment, I would have ended it in 2016. Because I was frustrated. I looked around, nothing was working. What kept me safe? I went on a retreat. Going for that retreat, I went with the book where I recorded, I don't know if I've shown enough of you that book, where I recorded the things that God said to me long, sometimes 4 years before PG even started. So I went and began to read through them. And I began to make war with them. I said, Father, this is your word. This is what you showed me. But then we forget so easily. Do you have a book you record prophecies? Now, I'm not talking about all those small pengele jota that you have. Do you know why? Some things that God is telling you today, listen, though, will happen in 8 years' time. Where is that book now? The one you wrote 4 years ago. And that's some of you have to make use of technology. When you're done, save this on iCloud, save them on Google Drive, just keep them safe. And revisit them again and again. So you record prophecies. I said the first thing is so that you can work with them. And that is why you record prophecies. It's so that you can confirm when it is fulfilled. You know, it is when I listen to some of our old messages and I hear some words that we spoke there, and I can remember, oh wow, it later happened to so-so brother or so-so sister. But we don't even know whether they have happened or not, because we don't even remember that those prophecies came. So how will you confirm when God has done them? How will you confirm when they've been fulfilled? Where you don't even remember that they exist? And I can tell this one is for men of God. Listen, one reason why you learn to record prophecies is because some people can misinterpret what you say. Some people can say, Pastor said, if you recorded it, you can show them. Please play this thing. Brethren, is this what I said? But I've seen this happen all over the place. I say, Pastor, you know, a man was sharing a story a sister, was complaining that the word you spoke to me did not come to pass. And he was complaining to the daughter, the man's daughter. The words your dad spoke to me, it didn't happen. I've been waiting. He said, What did my dad say to you? Say, your dad said that I'm going to marry our pastor. What? The girl was like, I know my dad cannot give prophecies like my dad does not talk. He said, but that's what he came to me and personally and he told me, you will marry. I said, wow. He said, do you have this prophecy recorded? He said, hey, it is recorded. And they brought it. What the man said? The man said, your heart desires, the Lord will grant it. And she said, hey now, my heart desire actually that time. That taught you a lot of lessons. He said, sister, that's what he meant. He said, no, that was not what there's another hard desire he's talking about. Because she was waiting and the pastor got married. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying yourself in the word of God? So, you record. Please think of this. Everything we've said, record, document, pen down, store them, listen to, have them somewhere. Because indeed, the vision is for an appointed time. There are things that, you know, the way God speaks there, I told you at Immersion, God speaks in the now. So he can speak to you in the now and you think it will happen tomorrow. He's a liar. Some of them are for an appointed time. Do you get the point? How we are, you know, read about Abraham. The Lord said unto Abraham, I'll bless you and make you a blessing. Who recorded that? It was Moses. How did Moses get the information? Whereas he was not even alive in the days of Abraham. It's obvious the man, Abraham, recorded the things God said to him. Are you getting the point? Hallelujah. The man of God was sharing a story how the wife got a prophetic word from a minister, a renowned prophet. He told the wife, he said, you know, God will not allow your children to marry wrongly. And she said, amen. And the thing resonated because at that time, the two kids were in relationships that she said she had no problem with them. But one of them said, her daughter was dating one guy. Said the guy was even like a son to them. So, very close to the family. But somewhere in their hearts, something was just off. They couldn't tell the children, don't marry that guy, because it don't make the sense for your children. So, they were just feeling uncomfortable. So, the kids began to plan the wedding. Amen. They began to plan the wedding. She said, on the outside, she was, you know, acting all happy, planning with them. But on the inside, she was crying. This is not it. So she took that word of prophecy and began to make war with it. say, Father, you say they will not marry wrongly. For do you know this wedding I'm telling you? The engagement scattered 1 week. So the wedding is scattered peacefully, don't be offended. But is that white people, I'm just telling you what happened. The wedding letter held, but with another bride. Like within that week, they met someone and they clicked. Now listen carefully. Please don't do that. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Don't cry and come here. Say, sir, but it happened. Now listen to me. In learning about the moves of God, you must realize the fact that something happened once doesn't make it a doctrine. Some things can happen supernaturally. It doesn't make it a pattern for the church to follow. I get to the point. I mean, God can tell a man, as you step out of your door, there is a girl you will meet. The name of the girl is this. This is her age. That is your wife. That can happen. And that can sincerely happen. But that doesn't make it a pattern. You say, God, the same way you spoke to my pastor, speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. You will hear things. And the first name you're going to hear will be a married woman. Just after I said, the Lord say, I'm my wife. He said, ah. Have 3 children, though. Amen. So, you record prophecies so I can make war with them. Second thing you do with prophetic words, personal prophecies, please pay attention to those words for proper interpretation. Interpret them properly. A prophecy not well interpreted is a prophecy that you have missed. Now, interpretation I mean is, what exactly is God saying? When is he saying it will happen? How is he saying it will happen? Don't assume things. I give you this example when I was talking about visions. Don't see things and assume, oh, this is what God is saying. Say, don't assume. Proper interpretation. Imagine if when Pharaoh saw that those 7 cows, lame cows that swallowed fat cows, imagine yourself had missed the interpretation. That message would have been lost. So, pay attention. Sometimes, wait upon the Lord to get clearly what he's saying and what he's trying to say. Are you getting the point? Don't just rush. I was talking to one of my sons in my office recently, and I told him, if the Lord says, I am calling you into the ministry, that does not in any way mean I'm leading you to start a church. And it doesn't mean I'm leading you. It doesn't mean anything. It means something, but don't assume what it means. Ask him again and again. Amen. That's what we need to master, how God speaks. You know, over some issues. Maybe I don't know that one of these I'm going to do a teaching on different areas of your life, how God speaks and how God will not speak. One of those areas is where I'm talking about marriage, marital plans. If I'm talking about marriage and marital plans, for instance, you should realize that when God is telling you that sister is your wife, what God is not saying is that sister must be your wife. If she's not your wife, your life has finished. Do you know why? Because it also involves that sister's will and this. What if she doesn't want to be your wife? What if God speaks to her and she refuses to hear it? Are you what I'm talking about? Okay, what if she now goes ahead to marry another person? You will now be stuck saying, I'm not marrying again. Because God has already told me that her sister is going to be there. They play. I'll be there. So, when God is saying, oh, that sister is your wife. Now, you can go for that sister prayerfully. I've seen brothers that are stuck on a certain sister for 4 or 5 years because the Lord said it's your wife. And sister is saying, I am not seeing any future in you. Now, I want to say something else to you from the Lord. Break the camp and advance. You've stayed too long on this mountain. The reason is because when it has to do with marriage, God does not have any particular person that it must be. And if it's not that person, your life will scatter. What if God has intended that you marry a certain sister, and that sister begins to grow up and refuses to grow spiritually, decides to join cults, decides to spoil. You need to understand, I'm dealing with people's will here. Do you know what I'm talking about? So sometimes you just go up to a pastor, come and ask me, I'll tell you what to do. Move on, move on. And you need to understand how God speaks in these different areas of life. So people, you see them stuck. Sir, the Lord said it's him. The Lord said it's him. The brother is not forthcoming. But the Lord said it is. He's the one. The guy you are waiting for is planning his wedding, oh. He has told me about it, oh. And we are praying about it already. In case you don't know, we have fixed dates. You are just the one playing. Amen. Singles Connect is coming. And I will connect you by force. Amen. Interpret properly what God is saying. Some of you just see pictures and you say, "Well, that's what God." No. You are just praying and you see where you are, where you and the you are discussing with a guy. You guys are doing business. You say, "What it means that we have a business partners?" It may really not be. It might just be that God wants you to do this particular deal with him, and it's off. Are you what I'm talking about? Interpret properly what God is saying. Don't assume. Number three. Totally believe the words that you hear. Either from God directly or from your man of God. Now, this is where this gets very serious now. Totally believe those words. A word you do not believe will not happen. Because it is faith in your heart that will make those things happen. And if you keep doubting those words, they will not happen. So if God speaks to you that this year, you will experience increase. And can I say that somebody, you will experience increase this year. And you better believe it. That everything in your hand is increasing. What was small is bigger now. What is not enough today will be more than enough tomorrow. Where there was lack, there is now supply. Where there was lack, there is now supply. Receive the grace of more than enough. 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 In Jesus' name. Do you believe those words? More than enough. That if you need 10,000 for projects, you have 17,000 for it. If you need 10 million, you have 17 million for it. More than enough. And I'm hearing, apart from that, I'm hearing a lot from the Lord. That wisdom to improvise. Who? Wisdom to improvise. That wisdom that helps you get things done through another means. That when it is this way that will expect it to get done, maybe you need 10 million naira for the project, but the 10 million is not there. God will put a wisdom in you to get it done in another way without the 10 million. And if you believe it, have it done in the name of Jesus. It's one blessing I've enjoyed. That's the people that work with me in ministry, I know this term. Find a way around it. Because I believe if, sir, we need to do this and all we have is this, it's not enough. There is always a way. The Bible says God makes a way where there seems to be no way. That means that's what I mean. He didn't say God makes a way where there is no way. He said makes a way there seems to be no way. So there's actually a way everywhere. But there are places that it will seem like there is no way. May you see the way. I said, may you see the way. I said, may you see the way. In the name of Jesus. Over your business, there is a way. And I'm hearing from the Holy Ghost, you've not exhausted all the options. Ay. You've not exhausted all, there is a way. And you will see that way. By the Holy Ghost, you will see that way. By the Holy Ghost, you will see that way. There is a way. That which you want to get done, there is a way you've not seen. And now the way is showing up. The way is showing up. The way is showing up. Some of you will be so practical, you will hear it from the Lord in this meeting. Some you will see dreams. Let me tell you, there are about 7 of you. You will go home and engage people in conversations. And just in a regular conversation, boom, you will see the way. It will come like that. 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 You will not miss those conversations. Yeah, because that's the point. The person, you're just thinking, saying the regular stuff. But you're beginning to see ways of, does it happen to you sometimes? You begin to see possibilities. Possibilities. And that wisdom is given to you now. This year you will enjoy the wisdom of God. You will enjoy the blessing of many options. The blessing of many options. There are many ways of doing the right thing. And you will see them. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sit up for a moment. Now, when you receive words like this, what do you do? Believe it. What you do not believe, and this is you hear your spirit. That's why I talked about it. Some of you don't believe the things God is telling you. You say, am I sure it's God? It is God. You see a dream where they're pursuing you in your dream. 16 masquerades after your life. You wake up, you host prayer session. Then you see another dream where you're driving a very big car. And you wake up and say, now, wow, malaria. Something in you just doubts the things God shows you. But believe the things God shows you. Those flashes in your head, they are not your thoughts, they are God. Those visions dropping, they are not your head, it is God. You say, how do I know it is God? Don't you realize that whenever you go to the place of prayer and pray for long, you see new ways of doing that thing. Does it not happen to you? You know, this I share this with all the time. This is one of the ways I knew that it was time for PG to come. Because then, if I just stay away from prayer, I just have my doubts, my fears, and I don't even want to do it again. If I go to the place of prayer for long, I'm seeing different strategies. So stop doubting a kabarada. Don't doubt what you hear in prayer. Did you hear me? Believe. Second Chronicles 20 verse 20, talking about the prophets. Joshua said unto them, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. So when I speak to you, you believe it. That's your prosperity. As simple as that. You doubt it, you struggle. That same way, when God speaks to you, believe it. You want to see the words spoken to you this year come to pass. Believe it. In Acts 27 from verse 21, Paul, they were traveling, they were on the high sea. And of course, he already had told them, don't move from this journey. Because there will be issues on the way. But they disobeyed and they moved. But now, things were now getting very bad. Now, look at the scriptures. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, thank you, Holy Ghost. You should have listened, hearkened to me and not lose from Crete. And to have gained this harm and loss. So you should have listened to me. I want you not to move, but you moved. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. You see where I'm going to shortly. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. That's one of the mediums God speaks to us, remember? Visions. The angel of God spoke to me, whose I am and whom I serve. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God had given thee all them that sail with thee. It is the miracle of inclusion. What I mean is people around you will be included because of you. The other point, God is telling you, you will not die. But not only you, because they are with you. Always stay around blessed men. Because some things are avoided because they are there. You understand the point? Does it happen to you that some people that when you are around them, you know nothing can happen to you? God, even if you know the reason me, your servant is here. He said, because you are here. Now, see where I'm going to, and this is what I want all of us to get to in listening to God. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Why? I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That is the heart that sees things come to pass. Whatever you hear from God, believe that it shall be as God has said. I want to ask you a question. What did God say to you concerning this year? What did he say concerning your studies this year? What did he say concerning your relationship? What did he say concerning your ministry? What did he say concerning this church? What did he say concerning your finance? It shall be as was told you. Believe it totally. But that is the third way to engage personal prophecies, to respond personal prophecies. Believe it. So God says, I'm going to do this. I believe totally. I'm going to open us. I believe totally. And in talking about believing God, don't engage your don't bring your senses into it. Because sometimes the things God is saying to you don't look like where you are at the moment. Does it happen to you sometimes? It doesn't look like it. Imagine God meeting Abraham and telling him, I'll give you a son at 100. That's a point to laugh and tell God, don't pull my legs. God met Zachariah and told him, you will have a child. And Zachariah began to doubt. Don't play with certain angels. He said, you shall be dumb. Hallelujah. I don't know who needs to hear me this morning. But the things that God has said to you, they are possible. I don't know where you are at this moment. And I sense that by the Holy Ghost. I don't know whether it doesn't look possible, but they are very possible. Because faithful is he that has spoken to bring it to come to pass. When he says a thing, he watches over his word that they come to pass. Believe it. Believe it. God does not pull our legs. He doesn't tickle us. God is not a comedian. He doesn't try to entertain you. He says what he means and he means what he says. So he wasn't pulling only when he was telling you I will do this. He wasn't just trying to make you happy. God does not try to cheer you up. He means what he says to you. I told you guys during immersion, the comfort of the Holy Spirit is not patting your back. The comfort of the Spirit is the solution. Look what I said. What I mean is when you are struggling, the comfort the Holy Ghost brings is not to come and tell you it's well. Just calm down, okay? Calm down. Laugh now. It's fine. That's the comfort of man. That's man's comfort. When man comforts you, after the comfort, the problem is still there. When God comforts you, when he's done, he brings a solution. And may you enjoy divine comfort. May you enjoy divine comfort. So believe the things that God is saying to you. He's not playing. Believe it. And that takes me to the fourth thing to do with personal prophecy. I thought on this ending of last year. Be patient. Be patient. Many of us don't see prophetic words come to pass because we are very impatient. This is January now. Before February 26th, somebody is already foolishly talking. Let all the things they say will happen this year. That's impatient speaking. Once you begin to talk like that, you are out. Sometimes, the vision is an appointed time. Do you remember? Get that teaching of faith and patience. Ah, that's one of the most powerful single teachings we did last year. Faith and patience. And look at why I said it's powerful. There are messages that God speaks to me from the word. That particular message, I can tell you I was hearing it from the Lord and I was writing it. I was in Lagos, remember? I was in Lagos and it was 2-3 a.m. in the night. The Lord woke me up and said, I'm going to start talking to you about this. That was 2-3 a.m. I was in Lagos that morning. And I had to preach that message. I already prepared another message. 2 a.m. said, I'm going to talk to you about this. He said, this is why your people, most of them don't have what I've promised them. But by the time I finished, I couldn't sleep again. I just got up and got on my flight and started coming back. You see, patience. Bible tells us in Hebrews 6 as well about people who through faith and patience obtain the promise. He said we should follow their example. So it takes faith, but then faith works with patience. Are you following me? It works with patience. Lamentations 3:25 tells us very clearly. Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Verse 26, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the job of God. What you're talking about, you're talking about isolate them to hope and quietly wait. Because it has taken time since that word has come. Friends, is not even in place to receive gospel this evening. That's one. Another reason could be they are taking the wrong action. I explained all of that. Another reason could be Satan. Satan could be the reason why when Daniel prayed, that the answer was released on the first day that he prayed. But Daniel got his answer in 21 days. Why? From the first day he was supposed to answer, a prince of Persia rose up. That's why you one more reason why you're timing. Sometimes there is a prophetic was carried timing. Sometimes there's an appointed appellation service line. He said that we should not be weary in well doing. For in due season you shall reap if we faint not. So there is a due season for reaping. Hallelujah. I know many of you are close to your due season. Many of you are close to your due season for the fulfillment of those prophecies. Many of you are very close, very close, very close, very close. But you mustn't faint. Abraham got that word at 75. The due season, he was 100. So you don't faint. You don't lose heart. You be patient. Say, I'm patient. So keep hoping, keep believing, keep speaking, keep doing the word. Keep growing, keep following the Bible, keep rejoicing. Just stay there, keep speaking the word. Don't stop believing. But one thing I know, and it's clear to me, is that God has never lied to me. And I know this not only because I see it from the Bible. I know it because He has never lied to me. You know, I'm thinking, as I'm preaching on this stage, I'm thinking. And I'm trying to remember anything God has said to me that He did not do. And it's not just talk. I'm trying hard to remember whatever God has said to me. Some that He said recently are in the process. But everything God has said to me, He has brought them to come to pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I have one more thing to say. Oh, la predecoshabai. I want to encourage somebody because before I say the last one, I'm going to say Psalm 89, verse 35. Woo! Rabbi Kenesh. Psalm 89, verse 35. Wait. Believe the Lord your God. Let's start from 34. If you came for. Let's start from 33, rather. If you came for immersion, you understand this. Say, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Now, see verse 34. Give for immersion, you remember. My covenant, do you remember that? Will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. Do you know what it means for God to swear by his holiness? It means if I lie, I cease to be holy. So God is swearing by his holiness and saying, true to my name. Because you said true to God because God is higher than you. But there's nobody higher than God. So he's swearing by his name. I swear by my holiness. I will not lie to you. So it takes 5 years. It takes 10 years. Some of you, it doesn't even reach 5 years. You see couples that the Lord will say to them, I will give you a child. Some of them wait 17 years. Sometimes God tells them, I'll give you a child that will lead your generation. 17 years. But then the baby finally comes. And many of us, we have challenges in our lives. And God says, I'll fix it. 2 weeks, 3 weeks. He's no more coming to church. Carry long face like a mad God. Where is the God? All the things that God promised. I see not done it. He's seen this in our God. 3 weeks. You need patience. Stamina. Rocket in the will of God. Say, if God said this, it's going to come to pass. God has never lied, so he did not lie to me. See, if I did not see it, something is holding it. It's either me or Satan. Whichever one, we'll finish it. If it is me, myself, you will pass, you will see it. If it is Satan, you will see it. You know, some of us, the reason why I've not seen some things come to pass is because we don't adhere to instructions. I'm coming to that very shortly. That's why I'm going to close. Without adhere to instructions. You know, some of you that the Lord is saying, I want to bring some of you, we lay hands on you. Oh, there's a teaching grace coming, there's a prophetic grace. Sometimes when you receive that impartation, the Lord says to you, take your prayer life more seriously. You've not done that. So, patience. The last thing, when you receive these personal prophecies, is please respond accordingly. I call it obedience. Let me take you through these 6 things very quickly. Respond accordingly, depending on the kind of word you received. There are generally 2 kinds of words people receive. I'll say it to you all so that you can understand it. And this will answer many of your questions. This is why some of you came to church this morning. One, there are negative words of prophecy. And there are positive words of prophecy. Now, negative does not mean it's not from God. What I'm saying is, God can speak to you and the word is not sweet. Please pay attention to this because it will help you. What I mean is, God can speak to you and show you that death is coming. Or show you that lack is coming. Or show you that famine is coming. Are you getting me? Now, there is a way to respond to this. There are generally 3 kinds of these negative prophecies. The first is, there are negative words that come to you that should not happen. But they are just God trying to reveal the plans of the devil to you. You all get the point? Some of these negative words is God trying to reveal to you, see what Satan is planning. So, use prayer and reverse it. Should I give you an example? Luke 22 verse 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has planned to sift you like wheat. He was not telling Peter, I want you to be sifted like wheat. He was showing him, you are about to be sifted like wheat. That is not my will. Luke 22, 31. That is not my will. That is simply what Satan is planning. And that's why there are words you receive from God. Because you know the character of God. You will know that this is not actually what God wants for me. See, if God is showing me this, because he wants me to avert it. Are you following me? You know, another example is Hezekiah. You know that Hezekiah story, Isaiah 38. Isaiah walked up to him and told him, prepare your house, you are going to die. Now, if you know the character of God, you should know that God does not kill anybody. And God just wants to die an untimely death. That's not the time to begin to tell the prophet, fire, Holy Ghost fire. If Isaiah was in the New Testament and had much light, what he would have told Hezekiah is, Satan wants to take your life. Are you following me, church? You see how Jesus put it? Satan has planned safety like it. So when you hear that kind of prophecy, maybe the man is not well taught, he says, you're about to die. Or your business is about to crash. What he's saying is not that your business must definitely crash. What he's saying is not that God wants your business to crash. What he's saying is that Satan wants to crash your business, but God wants to redeem your business. So what do you do with that kind of word? What do you do? Huh? How do you avert it? Prayer! Warfare! Warfare. Warfare. So if you see dreams, negative, terrible dreams, things that happen to your dream, it doesn't mean that God is saying, well, I want these things to happen. God is showing you what Satan wants to do. You see dreams, you want to travel, there's an accident. There's another accident. When you stand up, glory to God. How many of you come to a point in your life when you just stay and you smell death all over the place? What happened to you? You sense death around. It doesn't mean God is saying, I want to kill you. He's not saying I want somebody else to die. He's showing you what Satan wants to do. You'll be foolish to let it happen. Peter, Satan has planned to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. So there are prophetic words that are simply satanic plans that you need to avert by prayer. And that's why if you're a prophet here, or if God speaks to you, you must learn the character of God so that you will know how to deliver these messages. So that you don't walk to people, you don't tell people that something will happen as though it is what God wants to do. Are you in church this morning? No. Do you still have some room for some more? So, do you have 10 more minutes? Ask your neighbor, do you have 10 more minutes? Ask the person, do you have 10 more minutes? What did the person say? If you don't have, well, use the toilet a little and come back. Just a little. Ease yourself. Glory to God. I love the word of God. Let's say like Ghanaians. I love the word of God. Amen. Do you love your pastor? Not your spaghetti, I mean. Glory to God. These prophetic words can come. So there are negative words like that. They don't sound sweet. Do you see dreams you don't like? Some of those dreams, it is God trying to show you not what he wants to do, but what Satan wants to do. That you'll be so foolish to allow it to happen. I minister here sometimes. Sometimes people hold my hands and as I want to pray for them and I see terrible things that if I begin to tell them, they will not believe it. I'm still telling you. So people hold my hands and I'm seeing, wow. Let me talk about the next one because I want to tell you a story now. There are negative words that are satanic plans also. But the difference between this and the first one is you need both prayer and action to avert this one. The first one, there are some words that come. Once you just pray, is fine. There are some others that come. You need more than prayer. You need to take some actions. An example was when Herod wanted to kill Jesus. God showed Joseph and told them to carry the child and run. That kind of this thing did not need just prayer. Listen to the instructions that follow such words. If Joseph had been there with Mary and the child, holding midnight prayer, hallelujah, and are praying all night, they will be praying Herod will come and kill the child. There are words that need action. They shouldn't happen. But they can happen as a consequence of your action. So if you don't take action, the right action, God wants you to take it to happen. Jonah went to Nineveh and preached. What was his message? Nineveh will be destroyed in 7 days. And Nineveh called a fast. They called a fast and it didn't happen. Why? That word did not mean that God wanted to destroy Nineveh. That word meant Nineveh, this is what Satan is planning because of a life you've been living. See, if you can turn away, let me share this story with you. I don't think I've shared this story before generally like this because it is sensitive. It's not a general rule, but there's a lot of lessons to learn. I shared a story with you guys of going to pray in a family where we try to burn the idol and they couldn't burn. And then, remember that story? Now, one of the issues I met in that family, there were 5 sisters who were not married. Now, after the meeting, I had some counselors. There's this particular one of them that met me. And she told me, sir, it's not just that I'm not married. I've had, sir, 5 suitors come. And they don't just come to check me. They have even come to see my people. He said, sir, the last one already brought, as in has done small thing. And once they finish doing the small thing, they go. Now, if it happens once, they can say it just happened. If it happens a second time, they can say it's coincidence. If it happens 5 times, it's a pattern. It's no more coincidence. Amen. And so I held our hands to pray. And I was just praying. The Holy Ghost said to me, tell her, look at the instruction. Pray. But apart from the fact that sleeping with someone you're not married to is a sin, he said, that is also the gateway through which Satan enters to mess up that your relationship. So he said, the next one that will come, don't get involved sexually with them. You'll be married before the end of this year. And it happened just as it was said. Now, that kind of what, if she had gone ahead messing up, that will not happen. I get what I'm saying. There are things that come as instructions. So there are things that God shows you. You have to pray, but you have to take actions to avert those things. One of our dear ones here, I just saw her and I thought I remembered it. For years, had not gotten admission. Both her and everybody in her house. And the father is an academician, if you can say. The mother too. And they will write jam. Oh, they say, oh, that one happened. Let me tell you, better be very spiritual. He said, oh, that one, the reason is because, oh, jam, oh, after she finished writing, she just sent it and the assistant went off. Oh, next year we'll write again. And they continued. 2019, FSP was still, and I told her, I said, well, I see something in your family. I don't know if I gave her this test, but let her give her the details. He said, your father seems to be the only educated man in your people's India, with the brother. He said, yes. He said, your dad, in a vision, was having an argument with one of his brothers. I think he said something or spoke one big English. And some of them said, oh, you want to show us that you went to school? Let's hear your... I'm telling you a real life story. I wish I can just tell her to raise up hand, but let's just pretend like... Let's pretend like we don't know who we are talking about. And I said, see what you do. Take two or three of your friends. Go to your village. Spend 3 days there praying. After you pray, come back. Are you following me? Some things, when God shows you some things, he's not saying, this is what Satan wants to do. He's showing you so you can advance them. So, you finish praying for the year, you go to sleep, and you see pictures you don't like. Stand up. Pray. Take action. Say amen. That is a third kind of prophetic word that is also in the negative. Now, these are prophetic words that will definitely happen. There are negative things, so they will happen. But God shows the believer so that the believer can be exempted from it. I'll show you that in the Bible. Before I show you that, I was talking about negative words that, you know, there is a man of God. Sometimes God tells you things like, I want you to have a healthy life. I've promised you health. Satan wants to make you sick. But then you have to change your feeding habits. I was talking to the ministers on Friday about a man of God that died very early because of this. Change your feeding habits. Take note of this. Sir, walk in love the more. Change how you eat. He didn't listen to any of those things. He died. When God speaks to you and the word is not sweet, take to prayer. Listen, if there are instructions that you are going to carry out, carry them out and you see the breakthrough. Then there are words that are negative that must come to pass. Now, must come to pass doesn't mean God wants them to come to pass. It's because many men have played the role to make sure they come to pass. And God will not fight men. So what God now does is to show it to the believer and shows the believer how to exempt himself. Do you understand? That is what happens sometimes when you want to get on a bus and the Lord says to you, don't enter that bus. And then you miss the bus and then the next time there's an accident. It's not like God wanted to kill them. God wanted to exempt all of them, but for one reason or the other, which I cannot get into now, that thing has to happen. Should I give you an example in the Bible? Oh, Matthew chapter 12, is it? Chapter 2 verse 12. I will put it already. Herod wanted to kill every child in Israel. God could not stop Herod because God will not go against a man in the wickedness he has planned to conceive, and he was a king. But what God could do in that case is to preserve people. And that's why this year, expect to be preserved. Expect it. So sometimes God shows you, well, this is about to happen. Another example, we find that a lot in the New Testament, Acts 11:28, there was a famine that was going to come. And God spoke to a prophet called Agabus and showed him of the famine. So what the church now did was to contribute food and make ready for the time the famine will come. Another example is the land of Egypt. When Pharaoh had a vision about a famine that was to come, Joseph had to bring a solution that will exempt the people from the famine. Are you what I'm talking about? So there is that type of prophetic word. That definitely will happen, but God wants to keep you safe. So you listen. Then the first level of prophetic, we're now in the positive. There are positive words that just come to you, and you must not have to respond to them. One of them is, some of them come as just words of encouragement from God. Now, they don't carry any message. God can just come to you and tell you, I love you. I believe in you. Does God talk to you like that? Does God talk to you like that? I believe in you. I'm making all things right. Well, now, when you hear those things, what do you do with those words? Meditate on them and say them a lot. Do you understand? 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3. He said, prophecies are for edification, exhortation, and comfort. There are words that just come to edify you. And when God speaks those words to you, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3, when he speaks those words to you, how you react to them is, keep them in your heart. Keep saying them. Hallelujah. And there's somebody I just want to tell that God believes in him. And when you hear that kind of thing, write it. God believes in me. Say it to yourself all the time. It is for the future sometimes. Amen. Or God just says to you, I will fix it. I will make a way. Or you are strong. Hallelujah. Say, I'm strong. Say, I am strong. So that kind of prophetic was where God just tells you things for encouragement. Now, don't throw it away. Turn it into a song if you can. Keep it on your lips and be saying it all the time. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I flourish. I'm spreading on every side. I prosper on every side. I increase on every side. I make progress. I make progress. I make progress. Nothing goes wrong with Jesus. Nothing goes wrong with me. You know, this nothing goes wrong with Jesus. One word God spoke to me one time. We were planning a meeting and I just said to me, nothing goes wrong with Jesus. I've not heard that from anybody. Nothing. And I've said it until it has entered your head. Nothing goes wrong with Jesus. Do you believe that word? So is Jesus in your boat? Nothing goes wrong with him. He was in the boat. Things were about to go wrong. But because he was there, nothing will go wrong. Even if I was a disciple of Jesus in that boat that day, once he starts sleeping, I'll start sleeping. Or Satan. Whichever one, we'll finish. We'll finish it. If it is me, myself, you will pass, you will see it. If it is Satan, you will see it. You know, some of us, the reason why I've not seen some things come to pass is because we don't adhere to instructions. I'm coming to that very shortly. That's why I'm going to close. We don't adhere to instructions. You know, some of you that the Lord is saying, I want to bring some of you, we lay hands on you. Oh, there's a teaching grace coming, there's a prophetic grace. Sometimes when you receive that impartation, the Lord says to you, take your prayer life more seriously. You've not done that. So, patience. The last thing when you receive these personal prophecies is please respond accordingly. I call it obedience. Let me take you through these 6 things very quickly. Respond accordingly, depending on the kind of word you received. There are generally 2 kinds of words people receive. I'll say it to you all so that you can understand it. And this will answer many of your questions. This is why some of you came to church this morning. One, there are negative words of prophecy. And there are positive words of prophecy. Now, negative does not mean it's not from God. What I'm saying is, God can speak to you and the word is not sweet. Please pay attention to this because it will help you. What I mean is, God can speak to you and show you that death is coming. Or show you that lack is coming. Or show you that famine is coming. Are you getting me? Now, there is a way to respond to this. There are generally 3 kinds of these negative prophecies. The first is, there are negative words that come to you that should not happen. But they are just God trying to reveal the plans of the devil to you. You all get the point? Some of these negative words is God trying to reveal to you, see what Satan is planning. So, use prayer and reverse it. Should I give you an example? Luke 22 verse 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has planned to sift you like wheat.
He was not telling Peter,
I want you to be sifted like wheat.
He was showing him, you are about to be sifted like wheat. That is not my will. Luke 22, 31. That is not my will. That is simply what Satan is planning. And that's why there are words you receive from God. Because you know the character of God, you will know that this is not actually what God wants for me. See, if God is showing me this, because he wants me to avert it. Are you following me? You know, another example is Hezekiah. You know that Hezekiah story, Isaiah 38. Isaiah walked up to him and told him, prepare your house, you are going to die. Now, if you know the character of God, you should know that God does not kill anybody. And God doesn't want you to die an untimely death. That's not the time to begin to tell the prophet, fire, Holy Ghost fire. If Isaiah was in the New Testament and had much light, what he would have told Hezekiah is, Satan wants to take your life. Are you following me, church? You see how Jesus put it? Satan has plans to like it. So when you hear that kind of prophecy, maybe the man is not well taught. He said, you're about to die. Or your business is about to crash. What he's saying is not that your business must definitely crash. What he's saying is not that God wants your business to crash. What he's saying is that Satan wants to crash your business, but God wants to redeem your business. So what do you do with that kind of word? What do you do? Huh? How do you avert it? Prayer! Warfare. Some of you see dreams. Negative, terrible dreams. Things that happen to your dream. It doesn't mean that God is saying, well, I want these things to happen. God is showing you what Satan wants to do. You see dreams, you want to travel. There's an accident. There's another accident. When you stand up, glory to God. How many of you come to a point in your life when you just stay and you smell death all over the place? What happened to you? You sense death around. It doesn't mean God is saying, I want to kill you. He's not saying, I want somebody else to die. He's showing you what Satan wants to do. You'll be foolish to let it happen. Peter, Satan has planned to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. So there are prophetic words that are simply satanic plans that you need to avert by prayer. And that's why if you're a prophet here, or if God speaks to you, you must learn the character of God so that you will know how to deliver these messages. So that you don't walk to people, you don't tell people that something will happen as though it is what God wants to do. Are you in church this morning, no? Do you still have some room for some more? So, do you have 10 more minutes? Ask your neighbor, do you have 10 more minutes? Ask the person, do you have 10 more minutes? What did the person say? Huh? If you don't have, well, use the toilet a little and come back. Just a little. Ease yourself. Glory to God. I love the word of God. Let's say like Ghanaians. I love the word of God. Amen. Do you love your pastor? Not your spaghetti, I mean. Glory to God. These prophetic words can come. So there are negative words like that. They don't sound sweet. Do you see dreams you don't like? Some of those dreams, it is God trying to show you not what he wants to do, but what Satan wants to do. That you'll be so foolish to allow it to happen. I minister here sometimes. Sometimes people hold my hands and as I want to pray for them and I see terrible things that if I begin to tell them, they will not believe it. I'm still telling you. So people hold my hands and I'm seeing, wow. Let me talk about the next one because I want to tell you a story now. There is the second one there are negative words that are satanic plans also. But the difference between this and the first one is you need both prayer and action to avert this one. The first one, there are some words that come. Once you just pray, it's fine. There are some others that come. You need more than prayer. You need to take some actions. An example was when Herod wanted to kill Jesus. God showed Joseph
and told them to carry the child and run. That kind of this thing did not need just prayer. Listen to the instructions that follow such words. If Joseph had been there with Mary and the child, holding midnight prayer, hallelujah, and are praying all night, they will be praying, Herod will come and kill the child. There are words that need action. They shouldn't happen, but they can happen as a consequence of your action. So if you don't take action, the right action, God wants you to take it to happen. Jonah went to Nineveh and preached. What was his message? Nineveh will be destroyed in 7 days. And Nineveh called a fast. They called a fast and it didn't happen. Why? That word did not mean that God wanted to destroy Nineveh. That word meant Nineveh, this is what Satan is planning because of a life you've been living. See, if you can turn away, let me share this story with you. I don't think I've shared this story before generally like this because it is sensitive. It's not a general rule, but there's a lot of lessons to learn. I shared a story with you guys of going to pray in a family where we try to burn the idol and they couldn't burn. And then, remember that story? Now, one of the issues I met in that family, there were 5 sisters who were not married. Now, after the meeting, I had some counselors. There's this particular one of them that met me. And she told me, sir, it's not just that I'm not married. I've had, sir, 5 suitors come. And they don't just come to check me. They have even come to see my people. He said, sir, the last one already brought, as in has done small thing. And once they finish doing the small thing, they go. Now, if it happens once, they can say it just happened. If it happens a second time, we can say it's coincidence. If it happens 5 times, it's a pattern. It's no more coincidence. Amen. And so I held our hands to pray. And I was just praying. The Holy Ghost said to me, tell her, look at the instruction. Pray. But apart from the fact that sleeping with someone you're not married to is a sin, he said, that is also the gateway through which Satan enters to mess up that your relationship. So he said, the next one that will come, don't get involved sexually with them. You'll be married before the end of this year. And it happened just as it was said. Now, that kind of word, if she had gone ahead messing up, that will not happen. I get what I'm saying. There are things that come as instructions. So there are things that God shows you. You have to pray, but you have to take actions to avert those things. One of our dear ones here, I just saw her and I remembered it. For years, had not gotten admission. Both her and everybody in her house. And the father is an academician, if you can say. The mother too. And they will write jam. Oh, they say, oh, that will happen. Let me tell you, better be very spiritual. He said, oh, that one, the reason is because, oh, jam, oh, after she finished writing, she just sent it and the assistant went off. Oh, next year we'll write again. And they continued. 2019. FSP was still. And I said, well, I see something in your family. I don't know if I gave her this, but let her give her the details. He said, your father seems to be the only educated man in your people's India. With the brother, say yes. Said your dad in a vision was having an argument with one of his brothers. I think he said something or spoke one big English. And some of them said, oh, you want to show us that you went to school? Let's hear your. I'm telling you a real life story. I wish I can just tell her to raise up hand, but let's just pretend. Let's pretend we don't know who we are talking about. And I said, see what you do. Take 2 or 3 of your friends, go to your village, spend 3 days there praying. After you pray, come back. Are you following me? Some things, when God shows you some things, he's not saying, this is what Satan wants to do. He's showing you so you can avert them. So, you finish praying for the year, you go to sleep, and you see pictures you don't like. Stand up. Pray. Take action. Say amen. That is a third kind of prophetic word that is also in the negative.
Now, these are prophetic words that will definitely happen. That negative things, so they will happen. But God shows the believer so that the believer can be exempted from it. I'll show you that in the Bible. Before I show you that, you know, talking about negative words, that you know, there is a man of God. Sometimes God tells you things like, I want you to have a healthy life. I've promised you health. Satan wants to make you sick. But then you have to change your feeding habits. I was talking to the ministers on Friday about a man of God that died very early because of this. Change your feeding habits. Take note of this. Sir, walk in love the more. Change how you eat. He didn't listen to any of those things. He died. When God speaks to you and the word is not sweet, take to prayer. Listen, there are instructions that you are going to carry out. Carry them out and you see the breakthrough. Then there are words that are negative that must come to pass. Now, must come to pass doesn't mean God wants them to come to pass. It's because many men have played the role to make sure they come to pass. And God will not fight men. So what God now does is to show it to the believer and shows the believer how to exempt himself. Do you understand? That is what happens sometimes when you want to get on a bus and the Lord says to you, don't enter that bus. And then you miss the bus and then the next time there's an accident. It's not like God wanted to kill them. God wanted to exempt all of them, but for one reason or the other, which I cannot get into now, that thing has to happen. Should I give you an example in the Bible? Oh, Matthew chapter 12, is it? Chapter 2 verse 12. I put it already. Herod wanted to kill every child in Israel. God could not stop Herod because God will not go against a man in the wickedness he has planned to conceive, and he was a king. But what God could do in that case is to preserve people. Preserve people.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.